Vyapakatayatmanam Vyapakatayatmanam
Vyapakatayatmanam
Vyatirikatatayatmani
Vyatirikatatayatmani
Vidvan Svapna Ivatmasa Saksinam Virarama Syavyapakatyat Yatmanam Yatiktaktat Yatmani Vidvam Svapna Ivatmasa Saksinam Vira Ramaha Syavyapakatyatmanam Vyatirikatyatyamani Vidvan Svapna Ivatmasa Saksinam Vira Ramaha
Saksinam Vira Ramaha
Savyapakatayatmanam
Vyatirikataya by differentiation. Atmani in his own self. Vidvan perfectly educated. Swapne in a dream. Eva like. Amarsa
of deliberation.
Saksinam, the witness. Virarama became indifferent. Ha, certainly. Translation. King Malayavraja, repeat after me.
King Malayavraja
attained perfect knowledge. By being able, to distinguish, the super soul, from the individual soul. The individual soul is localized. Whereas the super soul is all pervasive.
He became perfect in knowledge.
That the material body,
is not the soul.
But that the soul,
is the witness of the material body.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The conditioned soul is often frustrated in trying to understand the distinctions between the material body, super soul, and the individual soul. There are two types of Mayavadi philosophers. The followers of the Buddhist philosophy and the followers of the Shankara philosophy. The followers of Buddha do not recognize that there is anything beyond the body. The followers of Shankara conclude that there is no separate existence of the Paramatma, the super soul. The Shankarites that the individual soul is identical with the Paramatma and in the ultimate analysis. But the Vaishnava philosopher, who is perfect in knowledge, know that the body is made of the external energy and that the super soul, the Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is situated within the individual soul and is distinct from him. As Lord Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, Se tajana tapi mam vidhi sava chitesu bharata setra setrajano jnanam yattas jnanam mata maura. O son of Bharat, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies, and that to understand this body and its knower is called knowledge. That is my opinion. The body is taken to be the field, and the individual soul is taken to be the worker in that field. Yet there is another who is known as the super soul, who along with the individual soul simply witnesses. The individual soul works and enjoys the fruits of the body, whereas the super soul simply witnesses the activities of the individual soul, but does not enjoy the fruits of those activities. The super soul is present in every field of activity, whereas the individual soul is present in his own localized body. King Malavraja attained this perfection of knowledge and was able to distinguish between the soul and the super soul, the soul and the material body. Shyavya mikataya manam vyatiriktat mani vidvam shapna ivatmasa saksinam virat maha virat ramaha. King Malava Raja attained perfect knowledge by being able to distinguish the super soul from the individual soul. The individual soul is localized, whereas the super soul is all pervasive. He became perfect in knowledge that the material body is not the soul, but that the soul is the witness of the material body. Om Aginam Tiram Nasya Ganam Ganam Shlaka Chakshu Mishantra Taipan Shri Guru Vipo Vancha Kapa Turu Vishya Kripa Sindhu Vipo Chakpatita Nam Pavane Vipo Vaishnavi Vipo Om Namaha. So this, you'll find this theme is all throughout this Vedic knowledge, is that knowledge is coming down from perfect sources. This is the way we understand the Vedic knowledge. It's coming down through the acharyas, to those who have realized what is the nature of the soul? What is the nature of the super soul? And what is the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The first thing one has to realize is that the nature of the spirit soul that is different from the gross material body. Then further, one has to distinguish between the individual soul and the super soul. All this is perfect knowledge. Perfect knowledge is coming from perfect sources. No one can, by material speculation, by material activity, can find out the soul or the super soul. These things can only be
realized by following the process of spiritual enlightenment that is given by the bona fide spiritual master and the Vedic order. Due to the material senses, one cannot see the individual soul. Due to the material senses are limited. The material senses can only perceive matter, gross material energy, and for that reason, therefore, the soul remains beyond the appreciation of the mundane material senses. And when these senses become purified by the process of devotional service, then one is able to get direct knowledge of the soul by realization. First thing is that the senses become purified by their being engaged in devotional service. Just like we're eating something, we're tasting something. And although that is material, when something is offered to Krishna, we can taste that spiritual, we can taste the spiritual energy in that activity. Just like when the prasadam is material, but when it's offered to Krishna, become prasadam, it takes on a different quality. Purified quality, by eating this prasadam, therefore the whole material body becomes purified. This is the effect of devotional service, comes about by Krishna's call, two things, the supreme pravitram, the supreme pure, Krishna has a special feature that whatever touches Krishna becomes purified. Anything you touch, anything Krishna touches becomes purified. So by devotional service, this brings us in touch with Krishna. This is a process. By being in touch with Krishna, the senses become purified. And by the senses becoming purified, gradually they attain their original state. And then at the original state, one can appreciate the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How He's acting, how He's controlling, how He's guiding, how He's rewarding, how He's... Actually, Krishna is not so much engaged with punishing. This is the thing. We think God is like punishing, this one, but actually Krishna is not engaged in punishing. We find out the living entity is causing its own miseries. The living entity, they cause their own miseries. And due to the laws of material nature, you have the motive goodness, and you have the motive passion, and you have the motive ignorance. Generally speaking, material energy is in the mode of ignorance, is a mode of darkness. Just like Srila Prabhupada gives you an example, this whole universe is dark. That's why you need the sun is there, because this whole place is darkness. And so material energy is in the mode of darkness. And the mode of passion also is associated with being bewildered. Those in the mode of ignorance are bewildered. And the more, those are more passionate, also be willing. It's like you have, in the mode of ignorance, someone is not interested in becoming enlightened. This is a mode of ignorance. I don't have any time for this. Those in the mode of ignorance, they see no, it's not very important. They don't see the importance of spiritual life. This is a mode of ignorance. Therefore, some... One in the mode of ignorance, he doesn't understand why somebody else takes his spiritual life. Because the mode of ignorance is there. And in mode of passion also, there's no time for spiritual life because there's this time for running. And making money and taking care of oneself like that, in that way. And one in the mode of passion also has no reason for being enlightened, has no idea of it. So, the only where these things take place is in the mode of goodness. That's called, the mode of goodness is called an enlightened mode, the mode of light. And as devotees, we have to try to put ourselves into the mode of goodness. That's called sattva-guna. And in the mode of goodness, then the senses become very bright. The eyes become bright, the ears become bright, everything becomes bright. That's called the bright mode. And darkness goes away. It means ignorance goes away. It means that the mode of goodness develops a mentality of very loving, very caring, very wonderful mode of nature. The mode of goodness. Actually, those in the mode of goodness, even if you're not Krishna conscious, if you just simply remain in the mode of goodness, you'll go to the heavenly planets. The heavenly planets there, everybody's in the mode of goodness. And so in the heavenly planets, nothing smells bad, nothing dies real fast. It's a mode of goodness. The mode of goodness, everything remains long time, very purified, very wonderful, no bad reaction. So as devotees, we bring ourselves to the mode of goodness by associating, by hearing, by eating, by engaging in devotional service. From the mode of goodness, we can understand what is the spiritual knowledge. We can understand it, that we're not this body, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Every realization is corresponds to that level of enlightenment. Just like those in the Brahman realization, the tendency is there to become an impersonalist in Brahman realization. First thing you perceive is the spiritual light. And then you want to merge with that spiritual light. You want to become one. And you want to become free from all the distractions. That's called Brahman realization. But if one is not hearing from bona fide sources, then he remains in Brahman realization. And he becomes an impersonalist. Therefore he thinks Krishna, he doesn't see Krishna. Just like Lord Buddha, I said that when he was asked about God, Lord Buddha said, don't worry about it. Made some comment, you know, it's not important. Because it wasn't important, because Lord Buddha is not teaching Krishna Bhakti. It's called different kinds of avatars. Yuga avatars. And then there's avatars with some kind of mission. And then there's empowered devotees who are empowered to do things like Krishna. It's like Lord Jesus Christ or whoever like that. There's different incarnations. So Lord Buddha is like that. Yuga avatar. In every yuga there's all these missions that these avatars are taking is going on. And these prophets say these avatars are going just like the seasons are going. They're going around and around and around. Prabhupada gives the example just like a circus. When the circus comes to town and everybody following the circus, everybody going, then the circus is leaving town, everybody going to the circus. And so you have Krishna's pastime, you have Lord Ramachandra's pastime, you have Lord Varaha's pastime, the Sringadev pastime, they're all going on. Prabhupada said that when they're leaving here, they're going someplace else and doing the pastime there. The idea of Krishna God is to enjoy these pastimes of Krishna, not just to... When Krishna comes to town, you leave with Krishna. you can... Srila Prabhupada said that you have to enter into Krishna's pastimes. To enter into Krishna's pastimes, one has to become qualified. As soon as you qualify yourself in one life, the next life, you'll be in Krishna's pastimes. That's the way it works. Nobody is in Krishna's pastimes unless they've qualified themselves by surrender. So all these devotees that you see with Krishna, with Lord Chaitanya, with Lord Ramachandra, they're all qualified persons who have perfected devotional service. Just like we're doing devotional service now. When we're perfecting our devotional service, then we'll be in those pastimes. But you have to become perfect first before you enter the pastimes. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said, as soon as you become self-realized, you immediately enter some pastime. Immediately. Just like this pastime here now, this is one pastime of Krishna's pastimes. This is Lord Chaitanya's pastime. How Lord Chaitanya delivered the material Kali Yuga. by spreading the holy name and having his devotees all over. This is going on. You're one of the devotees. You're one of the devotees of Krishna's pastime. And so, Prabhupada said, when you become enlightened, you realize Krishna automatically. That you are in with Krishna. All the time you were with Krishna. But when you become realized, you realize, oh, I'm with Krishna now. Then you can understand that Krishna is guiding you, Krishna is controlling you, Krishna is your owner, Krishna will direct you how to satisfy him, how to help everyone. So Krishna is your guide, Krishna is your... We come to Krishna consciousness for it. We come to Krishna just like we give up the old self and we take up the new self. And just Prabhupada gives the example, just like the caterpillar and the butterfly. Butterflies are totally different creation, totally different. The caterpillar is walking slow, the butterfly is flying high. The caterpillar is like ugly, the butterfly is very beautiful, going. So this is a transformation that takes place in the life of a devotee. And we should all be prepared for this. This is called a second birth. First birth you get, that's from the body, from the mummy and the daddy. And the second birth you get, that is from the spiritual master, and also the spiritual master and the godbrother of the spiritual master. Just like Maharaj said, the spiritual master and the godbrother of the spiritual master. When the spiritual master is not there, the godbrother of the spiritual master is just like the spiritual master. Just the beauty of spiritual life is that all these things are interchangeable. And you get to Krishna through the devotee that loves Krishna. That's how you find Krishna. Because you find the devotee that loves. You find love, you cannot go directly to find love from Krishna. You have to become purified. Just like Srila Prabhupada said, you cannot even make an offering. You have to make the offering to a pure devotee. Then he can make the offering. That's the way it's done. So the knowledge is given very specific. Not that we stop at one realization, Brahman realization, we stop there. No, we continue. Actually, all the descriptions of the realizations are here in this verse. Brahman realization, Paramatma realization, and Bhagavan realization. In that order. Not that we can immediately go to Bhagavan realization without understanding Brahman realization. Brahman realization is the first thing. That is, in Brahman realization, you have to become purified from the bodily concept of life. And actually that realization is not just mental, it has a transformation takes place by surrender, by being engaged, by... Actually, when one engages more and more, then what happens is that one becomes begins to taste the nectar in spiritual life, and that develops, that's called ruchi. Ruchi means taste, a nice taste that develops. And the more and more and more this taste develops, more and more and more, gets more strong, that the devotee becomes addicted to that. It's addiction to Krishna consciousness. And therefore a devotee can do his devotional service and satisfy Krishna in all our circumstance and overcome all kinds of difficulties by surrender, just like Srila Prabhupada. So many difficulties Srila Prabhupada overcame by his surrender and his dedication to Krishna. When Prabhupada came to New York, there was no one to take care of him. Prabhupada, he gave up persons to take care of him. When he took sannyas, his wife was taking care of him. After his sannyas, there was no one to take care of him. This is one feature of sannyas. And sannyas, you have to depend on Krishna. You cannot run for any other shelter. And actually, that's devotee life. Devotee life is you're depending on Krishna. You're not running to take shelter in any other thing. You're not taking shelter in your job, because your job, you're also depending on Krishna with your job. Your job is not different from Krishna consciousness. And you're not depending on mundane friends. You're depending on devotee friends. So your whole life is changed from a life that maybe you don't know where you're going, maybe you don't know where you're going to end up, maybe you don't know what's happening, till you know what's going on, you know where it's going to end up, and you know the direction. As long as you're on this path, this path's called the Raj Yoga. It's the king of all spiritual practices. He's the king, he's on the top. And so one has to perfect his Krishna consciousness. It doesn't happen for one oneself. One has to be interested in other persons who are parts of Krishna, and one has to be interested in pure devotees and their service to Krishna. In the beginning, it's how you're going to become enlightened. But in the end, it's how others are going to be helped. It's more advanced. It's more. In the beginning, you think for your enlightenment, but later on you think for everyone's enlightenment, that's more advanced. Because when a person thinks for their own self, that's more like false ego. Somebody cares for their own self. But when you have you become connected with other devotees and other people in general, then that's more real, that's more advanced. And you perfect your spiritual life, of course you'll get taken care of in your spiritual life, you make your surrender, but there's so many other people are there to benefit from your spiritual life. This is what spiritual life is about. How are you going to benefit all of these souls? Prabhupada said, just like any devotee, anyone that becomes a great devotee always ends up thinking that same way. That before they go back home, they want to deliver here and do the service to help as much souls as possible. The same thing like Prahlad Maharaj. Even as a little boy, he was in the school and his teachers, they were telling him, you know, how they were teaching Prahlad how to be a materialist. How to be like a nice demon. How to quarrel with friends, how to make alliances with, how to fight enemies. How to make schemes to get popularity. This is a teaching of demoniac civilization. How to make a lot of money, how to control a lot of people. And how to be tough, how to be business. And we're practically a product of that system, because that system makes us like individual persons. We all against other people. So everyone tries to get knowledge, but the system that's based on mundane activities, people cannot deliver us what we need, the kind of knowledge we need to make spiritual advancement. Can only come through Krishna and his pure devotees. That's the only way that is coming. Because Krishna is not revealing any of this very intimate activities, how to become enlightened. Krishna is not revealing this to persons unless they become serious. So that's the whole idea. When you become serious to find Krishna, then automatically you get access to devotees. As soon as you approach Krishna, Krishna doesn't give you himself right away. He gives you devotees, he gives you the process of devotional service. Devotees, the process of devotional service, that leads to Krishna. You can't do the devotional service without devotees. You cannot be a devotee without devotional service. Devotional service is what makes you a devotee. So when you have an opportunity to chant, you have an opportunity to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, you have an opportunity to go out on the Harinam, any kind of opportunity, it may look difficult, it may look whatever. But if you make the surrender, then you'll get the result. You'll become purified by surrendering to Krishna. Surrendering to Krishna is it's natural, but because we're contaminated by the material world, it becomes unnatural for us to surrender to Krishna, because we're thinking I'm interested in myself. What I can do so I can be happy, so I can advance, so I can overcome. But Krishna Gandhi is not thinking about yourself. He's thinking about Krishna and how others will be benefited. And then you become benefited in a real way because you're really connected then. Before, when you were thinking how to benefit yourself, you weren't connected with Krishna, so there was no question of benefiting yourself. But now you're connected with Krishna, then there's the opportunity to actually benefit yourself. But it doesn't come through thinking to benefit yourself. It comes through thinking how to benefit Krishna. That is the difference. Previously, before, in our birth with the family birth, the body birth, everything like that, we're thinking, me, this body, my everything. Now, in your Krishna conscious birth, you're thinking Krishna and everyone else, how everyone else is benefiting. So, it's more advanced thinking. Before, we're thinking like small, how to overcome ourselves, small things. Prabhupada said this process is simple living and high thinking. Not like high living and simple thinking. But simple living and high thinking. And to think advanced thinking is not coming about unless one makes spiritual advancement. Very simple. To think advanced, you have to become advanced to think advanced. Because advanced thinking means a change in character, a change in quality. A change in character, change in quality is also a change in thinking. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mamana Bhava Mad Bhakto Majasi Manu. Just think of me and become my devotee. And Srila Prabhupada said, you can't think of somebody unless you love them. If you love someone, then you can think of them all the time. So, the love of Krishna is there naturally. By the process of devotional service, it wakes up. The spiritual senses are able to taste Krishna. You have senses, they belong to the spiritual body. And when these spiritual senses are covered by the gross body, then we perceive the world through the gross senses. But the spiritual senses are there. And Prabhupada said the spiritual senses can become awake by purification, when the spiritual senses become awake to taste Krishna and to serve Krishna. They become enlivened and ecstatic by being in contact with Krishna. So therefore, you, just like in nectar devotion, you have that devotee who is rolling on the ground, frothing at the mouth. There's all these advanced positions of devotional service that if you read nectar devotion, you'll find out about these very advanced states of consciousness that are there to be realized in devotional service. Of course, if one of us starts rolling on the ground, frothing in the mouth, you know, we'll have to get them checked out. But this is the advanced stuff. Once we were with Srila Prabhupada, I wouldn't even, I heard the story. We were with Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada turned into like a kind of a darkish blue color. This is something very interesting. Everybody looked like Shabu. And Srila Prabhupada said also that these are the distinctions between the three classes of devotees. The first class, first stage of devotional service, that is stage of surrender and purification. You have to make a lot of surrender, you have to struggle the mind, the body, all this is very difficult. Very difficult to get from that stage, first stage. Oh, you don't want to do it, you don't want to do it, you can't take it, it's just too much. But if you make it through that very difficult stage, you become more purified. And then on the second stage, now what happens on the second stage, Prabhupada gives the example that when you begin to like to do something, then you jump up automatically to do it. you're very ecstatic about doing it. And you begin to taste the nectar and the devotional service. That's called Raghunuga Bhakti. So you perform Vaidhi Bhakti, and then gradually it becomes Raghunuga. Raghunuga Bhakti is when you ecstatic about the devotional service. When you begin to enjoy the devotional service, you begin to taste it, you begin to be crazy about it. And then nothing can stop a devotee like that from surrendering. They always find a way to surrender, find a way to be Krishna, away from Krishna. He cannot take for a moment being away from Krishna. That is Raghunuga Bhakti. As soon as that person is away from thinking about Krishna, he feels uncomfortable. So His mind is attached to Krishna. That's called Raghunuga. Spontaneous. Prabhupada gives the example that just like a student, when he becomes more excited about studies, he starts to study right away, he starts everything. You can he gets there early to do the studies. So, sometimes you find that devotee, he's early. Before anybody else, he'd get down there and chant his rama. When the kirtan is going on, he's the one that's jumping and running like crazy. Prabhupada said that when the deities look at the devotees, they notice who's ecstatic. They notice who is. Just like when you look out at a crowd, you see who's going like this, right? Who's waving their hands, who's jumping around. And Prabhupada said, that's what Krishna looks at. Krishna's looking to see who's ecstatic. And so we have to be conscious. You're looking at the deity, they look nice to you, but you look nice to them. It goes both ways. They're seeing you also. And in the so these qualities are described belong to the different stages of spiritual advancement. And Prabhupada gives a description of the Mahabhagavat. What can a Mahabhagavat do? So Prabhupada said a Mahabhagavat, he can go off with Krishna and come back again. He can go out and run and play and come back again. devotees from the first and second class cannot do that. They cannot do that because they are not realized to their spiritual body. But a pure devotee is realized to the spiritual body. So he can go with Krishna, he can come back, Krishna can talk with Krishna, everything. When Prabhupada had conversation with Krishna, he would keep it like without nobody seeing. So people won't become like, you know, what's going on. Prabhupada had a lot of activities like that, going away and coming back. Everybody, one morning, Srila Prabhupada is saying, I'm Jai Radha Madhava. Everybody's sitting there, and Prabhupada stopped chanting, he's completely gone. Then after a few minutes, Prabhupada came, a couple of minutes, he came back again. But we could see exactly that he's going and coming. So, pure devotees are like this. They have this unknown world that they're involved with. We have to get access to that by surrender. So that in the, this, we're not trying to become Mahabhagava right away. No one's, this is a Krishna consciousness. Because we're real, it's genuine. No one's trying to become Mahabhagava right away. What you try to become is Madhyam Adhikari. A Madhyam Adhikari is just a person that's sold out to Krishna. Prabhupada says like an animal is sold out. Madhyam Adhikari is sold out. There's no other life that he's doing. There's no other life that he wants to do. He's completely sold out. Madhyam Adhikari. And so a Madhyam Adhikari does not fall down. A Madhyam Adhikari doesn't fall down because he's attached to Krishna in a spontaneous way. Now you cannot be attached to Krishna in a philosophical way. I'm just attached to Krishna, the philosophy is very nice. Of course the philosophy is very nice, but you have attached to Krishna, the personal attachment to Krishna. That you think of Krishna that what he likes, what he wants, this is what a person is. A person is somebody you're going to just understand, you understand what the person likes. You just don't understand the person. You understand what they like, what makes them happy, then you can satisfy the person. So Krishna, you have to understand what Krishna likes. And as soon as you understand what Krishna likes sweet rice, halava, you know, not a nice sweet thing, and all these. Krishna likes nice colors and nice scents and smells and incense and flowers, all these things that Krishna likes. Also the trees making what Krishna likes, the birds whistling what Krishna likes. Everything is trying to do what Krishna likes. It's only I find the humans, they're not doing what Krishna likes. This is the idea. It's not just humans. You have this one tree, Prabhupada gives you one example. This one tree can give you so many things. It can give you flowers, fruits, you can get some medicine from there, you can get everything from the tree. So the tree is made like that to serve Krishna. This is like you have the Tulsi plant. The Tulsi plant is there to serve Krishna. Tell Krishna, look, I have my leaves, you take my leaves, you put on your offering. So we also, like the tree, like Tulsi Devi, like all these our living entities, we have to give Krishna our best, what we're meant to do, our talent, our ability, everything. You use it to benefit Krishna. If you're very very intelligent, you use that to benefit Krishna. If you sing very nicely, use that to benefit Krishna. Whatever you can do very nice, you do that to benefit Krishna. And then you see, you're born to serve Krishna with the talent that Krishna has given you. That's how you become Krishna conscious. Krishna already knows the talents and he's the one that gives you the talent. And so you use the talent to satisfy Krishna. And then as soon as you can do that with that attitude, to satisfy Krishna, satisfying Krishna means satisfying everyone. That's the idea. That's just described here. That's the position of the super soul. The super soul is in the heart of everyone. As soon as you make contact with the super soul, you make contact with everyone. And then, just like the super soul is the friend of everyone, you also become the friend of everyone too, just like the super soul. This is a very deep understanding here. But you don't do the Krishna consciousness to impress anyone. You do it simply to impress Krishna. And then, you know, you'll find very easy. You cannot expect like a lot of people are going to be devotees. Because just like you buying something expensive, how many people can afford? You know, so Krishna consciousness means like how much you can really pay. How much you have in your savings that you can really give to Krishna. And that you have that. Krishna has given you that. You've made surrender and Krishna has given you that. So all you simply have to do is just give it to Krishna, make sure that Krishna is happy. This is the idea. Not that you get something from God. This Krishna consciousness is about giving to God, not about getting from God. General people is getting from God, right? Oh God, our Father, our prayer, our daily bread, everything else. But in this Krishna consciousness, it's what you can give to Krishna. And that's how it's completely different than wanting something from God. And that is where love is. Love is it's like a cat or a dog can render service by loving you, by caring for you and seeing how you, just like I have my little cat, a little cat, how are you doing? So same way you care about how Krishna is feeling, you care about what Krishna wants, you care about all these things. Not that Krishna is just a stone. No, Krishna has feelings. Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna comes here because he feels some anxiety that his parts and parcels are here. Let me go get them out. They found themselves in. And the trouble that we're in as living entities the trouble we're in is because we're away from Krishna. And so we simply have to connect ourselves properly and become a qualified devotee, realize all these situations, advance to the Madhyam Adhikari stage of responsibility. And you'll see as soon as you make advancement to one level, then the Lord will take you from that place to use you. Anyone who does anything, makes any surrender, then automatically the Lord will use them. And when the Lord uses you, then that's how you become purified, because God uses you in all his business. That's your position anyway, to be in a servant in his business. So as soon as you can put yourself into that service, and then you become purified by being in that position. The position itself is purified. So you put yourself in that position, automatically you become purified. So I'd like to stop here and try to get a couple of questions from the devotees. Amukdivani, you have some question, comment?
No.
Oh, we can go back to Godhead, or?
Yeah, let's go.
Oh, you have a lot of comments.
No, I don't. One thing I noticed in the purport that I never heard it put in, I don't remember hearing it put in quite this way before, by Prabhupada, is Prabhupada called the body is the field, and the soul is the worker in the field. It was just like an interesting way of looking at it, like if you have a field and you're tending it to grow something, it's the image that came into my mind, or the worker in the field. I just never heard it put like that before.
Yeah, the body is the field of activities, because just like you have a field, you're going to go out there and dig and do stuff with grow stuff. The body is like that too. You can grow stuff with it. You can do stuff with it. And you can make things happen with the body. So it's like a field. And the worker is the worker in the field who does all the things in the field. If you don't do anything with the field, then the field can grow up into all the weeds and all these different things can grow. And if you work with the field nicely, you can grow everything nice and it's a field of activity. Just like some people, they don't care about the everything grows, And some people, they grow roses, they grow different things, they grow fruit flower, whatever. So with your body, you can also make all these things available and Krishna. Or you can do it or you cannot do it. And if you not do it, then you have nothing to gain. And if you do it, then you have everything to gain. The idea is that because you're connected with Krishna, therefore anything you do in the field of activities becomes purified. Not necessarily.
Sorry?
Not necessarily. Some demigods are not pure devotees. And therefore, that's why they have to come back. Those who are pure devotees, they can go with Lord Brahma when he goes.
Confirm.
Okay. So you don't have to go to the heavenly planets, you go straight to Vaikuntha, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Sorry, you mentioned that when one becomes self-realized, one immediately enters Samlila. What is the definition of self-realized?
Self-realized is on three different platforms. In the Brahman-realized platform, on the Paramatma-realized platform, and the Krishna-realized platform. On the Brahman-realized platform, one can become free from the gross identity of the self. And actually what happens is that the body begins to vanish away, is what actually happens. You become less and less and less. The body is less and less and less prominent in your person. And it almost becomes like, where is it? Before it was the body, the body. Now the body is like, going away. That's Brahman realization. When that process is complete, then you'll be full of light. You'll be full of light, and you won't be perceiving the gross body so much. And then all this, you cannot enter into the pastimes, either in Brahman realization or Paramatma realization. Paramatma realization is the highest. That's the state for the spiritual master. Because the spiritual master is contact with Krishna, it's Paramatma. Just like Srila Prabhupada, they have Srila Prabhupada. Can you know everything? And Srila Prabhupada says, I can know what Krishna wants me to know. That's called Paramatma. So Paramatma is always with the devotee, telling him this, telling him how to do this, all the time. So on the second stage is where you really contact Krishna. The first stage, you become purified from the body existence. My people, my thing, my everything, that goes away. Everybody becomes your people. That's the actual realization. You become actually transcendental to the body and my people. That's Brahman realization. When you become in contact with the super soul, then you can understand about other people, other living entities. You find your connection with everyone through Paramatma. But only when you become a pure devotee can you enter into the pastimes with Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said it depends on what you like. It depends on what you like. What kind of pastime do you like with Krishna? Me personally, I like the cowherd boy pastime. I know some people like the Damodara pastimes, Krishna the baby pastimes. And or some other people like, this Krishna fighting the demons. That's very nice also. If you study the pastime, somebody like this, somebody like that, somebody like it. And whatever you like, you'll find yourself gravitating to that rasa. That's the idea. You like different kinds of rasas. And you have to find a rasa that you like the most. Like I said, I like the cowherd boy. I like playing and running and all these things. So that's more natural for me. And so you'll find that attachment grows for that particular pastime. And you have to you have to find out about yourself, what is your really attachment to Krishna, what kind of pastime you like. As soon as you can understand that, then you can read about those. Say you like the coward boys. When you read about the coward boys, you get to know these boys. Madhu Mangal, the other one, this other one, get to know their colors, what they like, what they do. Somebody's always rushing to do something for Krishna. One person has a garland, he wants to give, he wants to make garland. Everybody has a thing that they juiced up about. And you find that among the devotees, even in the temple, you find that somebody likes to beat the drum. Give me the drum, I love, you know. Somebody else, they want the kato, they want to play. You know, somebody else, I want to do something else. Somebody else wants to cook. So there's all these different things that you can do. And when you do them, you have to actually do them first to actually taste them. You have to do them to taste them. You won't taste them just by thinking about them. If you, just like if you say, somebody says, can you do the pots? And then you say, I don't know. I don't know if I have time right now, right? But actually doing those pots will bring you to another level of Krishna consciousness. So every time Krishna pushes you something for you, do this and make this surrender, see what happens. You say, oh no, let's surrender, what's gonna happen? and we form a habit of making that surrender, making a surrender. And when you break the that you don't want to, when you break that, then you find that when you surrender, you'll find all the happiness and Krishna consciousness right there waiting for you. But so the surrender is what we have to practice surrendering. Even though you don't want to do something, you say, I've heard in Bhagavatam class that I should do this and see what happens. And you do it, and then you become enlightened. So the surrender is kind of practicing it. Then you get an understanding that by surrendering to Krishna, you attain something very wonderful. Okay. Anyone else? Mari?
I just have another question. You said about that sannyasi depends only like ultimately on God, yeah? And just in other ashramas, like vanaprastha, like household, I understand that all depends on God, yeah? But like in grihastha ashram, we have family members. What about brahmacharis and vanaprastha?
Brahmacharis is like sannyasis. Brahmachari life is just like sannyasi life. You know, you depend on no one. No one takes care of you. I mean, we're supposed to take care of the brahmacharis. But brahmachari or brahmacharini is like that. Nobody takes care of them. They have to surrender to Krishna to get to understand that. You have to understand something about this world, that really this world, nobody will take care of you. Krishna will take care of you. Even in the household ashram, your wife is there, your family is there, everything, but it's Krishna taking care of you still. And that is good to learn. It's good to learn that no one else will take care of you, and therefore you have to surrender to Krishna. Krishna will take care of you. Krishna is your owner, he'll take care of you. Not that someone else will take care of you in place of Krishna, no. You have to put yourself, so depend on Krishna. Make a test that if you do this, if Krishna will take care of you, and you'll see Krishna will take care of you. Every time Krishna will take care of you, every time, because Krishna is real and Krishna is there. But it requires surrender. Just like I remember when I was a little devotee, I didn't like going out in my dhoti, you know, going out dhoti, tilak, everything like that. But actually, when a person becomes advanced, he does nothing. He transcends that. Instead of people looking at him with a dhoti, they look at him, wow, you're doing very nice, because he's fixed into what he's doing. He's not external. Who's seeing me? Who's seeing you go back to Godhead? Who's seeing you go back to Godhead? You don't care. You're going back to Godhead. Who's seeing you go back to Godhead? They benefit by seeing you go back to Godhead. So you, the body is always benefiting people. It doesn't matter. You can't expect Krishna to be, you can understand about Krishna everything. It's easy to understand. No, the God is going to be difficult to understand. God is going to be also strange. You can't expect God to be like everything ordinary. Krishna is not ordinary. So therefore, you have so many forms of Krishna. You know, you have Lord Jagannath. Nobody looks like Lord Jagannath. Look at Lord Jagannath. Prabhupada said that the eyes Look at how big Lord Jagannath's eyes are. That he's seeing everything. He's seeing everything. You know, but as devotees, we're living here, and we are the ones who have to become purified to help everyone else. We have that responsibility as devotees. It's not like by chance Krishna is picking you to be a devotee by chance. No, but you're surrendering. Krishna knows what you're doing. And Krishna is helping you to surrender and making it so. You cannot go to this advanced state if you don't go through these other stages. That is it. And you have to be patient. Not that, I can't wait to be a Mahabhagavat. You can wait. Because Mahabhagavat is something, when you get Mahabhagavat, you're going back to Godhead. So you have to work towards that. And not only that, you make association with the bona fide spiritual master and try to associate with devotees who are more advanced. This is where we try to get advanced association. When we get advanced, sometimes when we're new devotees or we're advancing, we try to stay with devotees that are not too advanced. Because anytime you're with an advanced devotee, it's going to make you seem like you're not very intelligent. Huh? We put ourselves like, Maharaj, he's so intelligent. This one, I was here, he made me give the class in front of him, Maharaj, right? So, you know. But he's like that. He's so very humble, so very peaceful, so very loving, you know? So, so you make association with advanced devotee. And what happens is that you develop the qualities from those devotees. Those advanced devotees, if you develop qualities like advanced devotees, then this is what you want, to go back to God. And so you make association, and if you can recognize someone who knows more, then that is the way how you get to know more. I mean, if you cannot recognize advanced devotees, therefore you cannot become advanced. And if you can recognize advanced devotees, then your way is open for you to become advanced. It's all about recognizing. In Krishna consciousness, we recognize our humility. That we are small and we take shelter of Krishna. And by taking shelter of Krishna, then we're able to do big things. That's the process. We're little persons, we surrender to Krishna, but then Krishna can engage us to do big things. Okay, any more questions? Everybody's going back to Godhead. You know, so you are congratulations, you take the spiritual life, you become enlightened, you go back to Godhead. And you end all these miseries of material life. You've actually come to the point where you can stop all these miseries and you can make a success in this life. Success in this life, not just being a businessman. People think that if I'm a businessman, if I get all this money, then my miseries will come to an end. But we see that that's not factual. Sometimes a businessman, you just increase the miseries. And some of you may be thinking, if you're not a devotee, if you have a family, family life with not being a devotee is simply miserable. Family life without being a devotee is simply miserable. Because the children and the wife, everybody is simply miserable if you're not devotees. But as devotee now, then the whole thing turns around. Now, as a devotee, family life is very desirable. So that's it, Prabhu. I really have to stop. These topics can go on and on and on, but we really have to stop. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Nityananda Jayaradi.